Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. It's one of these nice fall, early winter days. It's nice. Good to see you folks in the Lord's house. We see some folks here that haven't been with us for a week or so. Good to see you. God bless you. I want to share a couple of things here with you that, as we begin, every Sunday we come together to honor God and celebrate the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus, and it should be a day of thanksgiving, that's for sure. Every Lord's Day, I count it a great day of thanksgiving. Yet this week, we are now, this coming Thursday, all families across the nation, America, will be gathering to give thanks as a nation, as well as families. It's a national holiday, and to give through thought to thanksgiving. We sure hope and we pray that many, many people across this nation, in fact, we pray that all the people would, pause and recognize and give thanks to God for his goodness. And so we come here this morning, and let us be aware that as a church here at Porter, that we're gathered here to honor God and to give thanks to him for the wonderful love and care that he has provided for us. And it's important for us to do so in at this meaning of this week, but every Lord's Day that we come together. The Apostle Paul in Thessalonians says that we ought to rejoice and give thanks always. And I have here in a psalmist, in Psalms 106, in just a couple words, says, "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And that's Psalms 106, and Psalms 105 says, "And give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing songs unto him, talk of all the wondrous works he has. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice and seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember," he says, "remember the marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and his judgments of his mouth." How much we do have to give thanks for as we come together this morning.
For human worship this morning, using number 313, singing the first and last verse, and Benny will have a prayer. It's all stand.
I wondered in the shades of night till Jesus came to me. And with the sunlight of my love and all my darkness leave. Sunlight, sunlight, it lights over the day. Sunlight, sunlight, all along the way. Since the Savior found me, took away my sin. I have had the sunlight of his love with me. Soon I shall see him as he is, the light that came to me. Behold the brightness of his face throughout eternity. Sunlight, sunlight, in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight, all along the way. Since my Savior found me, took away my sin. I have had the sunlight of his love.
Amen. Let us bow together before God. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we come, Heavenly Father, to honor you, to give you thanks for your goodness that you have showed upon us. Certainly this past week you've been good to us. You've helped us, Heavenly Father, provided for us, and we thank you for it. So this morning, Heavenly Father, we come and we thank you for the salvation we have through Christ Jesus. We thank you for this church family here. Thank you for each one gathered here this morning. We pray, Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit will dwell among us. That Heavenly Father will be an encouragement to us, that we'll be strengthened, that we'll have a stronger walk this week with Christ because we've come to seek you in our lives. So Heavenly Father, we know that we live in evil times. And so Heavenly Father, we come to you and we ask that you would bless, yes, that you would bless our church family. Indeed, that Heavenly Father, your hand would be upon us. That, dear God, that these old evil things that Satan throws at us, we just pray that none of these things will come near us that will harm us and grieve us, Heavenly Father, and give us pain. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come and we just seek you this morning. Not only are we here to give you thanks and honor you, but we seek you, Heavenly Father, to work in every life that is in this auditorium this morning. Heavenly Father, and as we leave here today, might we say with the psalmist, it's been good to be in the Lord's house, and might we have victory in the things that we face this coming week because we've come and sought you today. In Jesus' name we praise you. Amen.
Now for communion hymn, we're going to use number 153. First and third verse.
Be to God, of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadow of the mighty rock within a weary land, a home within the
Once again, good morning to you folks, and good to see you in the Lord's house. And we have some visitors with us this morning. I think some of these boys and girls have been here, but Debbie has a whole row of grand boys and grand girls here this morning. We welcome you. Even if you've been here before, we welcome you back. Good to see you. Good to see each and every one out here this morning. Welcome to you. Let's see. I want to share with you here this little invitation from a young lady here in our congregation. The president of the faculty and the fraternity class of Northern Kentucky University announced the graduation of Sierra Engel on Saturday, the 14th of December, 2019, with a Bachelor of Art and a science degree in psychology. And commencement's ceremonies will be held at the BB&T, is that T? J? I don't know, T. Okay, at the arena. Most of you know where the arena is down there at 9 o'clock on that date. I'll put this back on the bulletin. I also have directions here that we have also that I will put back there on the bulletin board if you don't know how to get there, if you want to use them. All right. Our Bible study the last few weeks has been dismissed, and I don't know how many is going to be here tonight. And so, Robert, you're going to have to take inventory and see whether we're going to meet tonight or not. And if we wish that more would come. And okay, you'll take care of that for us, will you? All right. And what else is happening? Lisa Jones, we haven't seen Lisa for a while. She hasn't been here, but maybe a birthday card might cheer her up a little bit. What else? A lot of things are taking place. We'll share next week with you. We'll start off in that direction that we're going. The big thing this week for you is Thanksgiving, and we want to encourage you to be every bit a part of that, and whatever you can do to enhance the Thanksgiving to our great and wonderful God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Please do that as the activities of the week take place in your family or wherever you might take place. As we look then on our prayer list, we still have a great number of people on our prayer list. Love to see that come down some. I was talking to Ron the day before yesterday. I thought maybe they'd be here today. But who else here? Doodle is back this morning. He rushed it a little bit, didn't you, Doodle? We missed you last week. Virgil's back with us this morning. And Virgil, I think Tuesday Virgil is going to get a shot in his shoulder. And let's pray that that will relieve him of his difficulty there and take care of that for him. And who else back here? Again, on our prayer list, we have a number of those folks that are here. We've talked about just about all of those. I haven't talked to my brother this week, but he's doing well, and probably from my last count of them, Donna, we could take him off, and he's doing good. Thank you for the prayers and so forth for them. And let's see, who else is on there? Anybody got a report on anybody there? Okay, Virginia?
My nephew, Freeman Lyons, he has got fifth stage, kidney problems. They're not expecting him to live. And Evelyn and her family went and seen him last week, and they said that he's still at home. He's with hospice, and said that at times he seemed like he knew him, and then other times he just lay there and slept. So keep Freeman on your.
Then Sylvia Rose, that's Keith's aunt. I was going to have her taken off the list, but she has taken a turn for the worse this week. And she has, they call it chemo brain now. She started having trouble figuring out what was going on. And they call it chemo brain from her cancer treatments. And so they're looking for an assisted living home to place her in because she's just not. They said it could take months and months for this to go away. So, and then Debbie's youngest grandson, Isaac, he is in need of prayer right now too. Well, Deb's whole family, but Isaac, he's 8 weeks old and he's just really, really weak. He needs lots of prayer.
Okay.
I had Stephen Goss.
Yeah, your son. I forget. I meant to ask you.
Son-in-law.
Okay. Try to let us know if you can, please. Or take one of those little slips back there and fill it out for us, and so that we can know a little more about what's going on. And we'd like to share that with the people and keep all these in our prayers. And also a good one to Donna here to put on our prayer list that things will go well. And we just pray that, you know, that it's so wonderful that God helps us through all of our difficulties. And we have difficulties, we have accidents and so forth that happens to us. We have illnesses that we'd rather not have. But God helps us through those. And so how wonderful He has helped so many here this year in this congregation. And we're so thankful for that. And so pray earnestly for these that we've mentioned, certainly in need, and may God bless them, help them, and strengthen them, and make all things work together good for them. As we come to our prayer time, then, remember our nation, and do pray that that people across the nation will pause for a little while Thursday and just be thankful that we still have a free nation we live in. Pray for the people that's leading us, and pray for all these things that I count it as Satan that's causing all the difficulties and hatred and stuff that we have among the politicians and such. Let's just pray that we could have a good week and people could recognize and that people would just come together and be thankful that we have a God and that we'll look to Him as we go through this week. God bless you.
For prayer, I'm going to use number 94, saying the first and fourth verse, and I will have the prayer. Let's all stand.
The world from you with all love is silver and it's gold, and you have to get along with Peter Fair. Just remember in his word how he feeds a little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on, and your body bends beneath the weight of care, he will never leave you then. He'll go with you to the end. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it
Father in heaven, we thank you again for the privilege you granted us to gather in your house on the Lord's Day. Thank you now for the ones on the prayer list. Be with them, comfort and restore them back to their normal health again. Be with the different people all over the world that they may have a better life through this year, coming year. Be with us now to the further exercise of service. Guide, guard, direct us, save us in the end. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Another invitation hymn be number 347. At this time, the choir brings special.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen and Gloria. Thank you very much. And I didn't mention, but I know that you would recognize that another person is missing this morning is Pauline over there. She hasn't been able to be with us the last couple of weeks. We pray that she will be able to be back with us even next week. This being Thanksgiving week, and I want to share with you some thoughts here from the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians. Let me ask you a question. How many times do you think that give thanks is recorded that we find in the Bible? Anybody want to take a guess? Anybody? How many times would you think that give thanks is in the Bible?
500.
How many?
500. 365 for him, I said 500.
500? That's a big number, isn't it? Let me ask you this. How many times do you think give thanks is in the New Testament? You want to divide your 500?
Yeah, just divide.
Well, I took a liberty. I don't know. I like to do this quite often. I think of something. I want to go in there and find out and so forth. Give thanks is recorded 27 times in the Bible. 7 times in the New Testament. You would have thought, you know, by reading there would be more. Thanksgiving is 19 times in the Bible and 8 times in the New Testament. Psalmist has the most. In Old Testament, Psalmist has 19 times that he has spoke, give thanks. And in the New Testament, he gives eight verses, then has thanksgiving in. But I like that thought of 500. And we ought to, you know, but I'm sure that most of you probably thought more than that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm glad that you are Thanksgiving-minded people, that you give thanks, and the Bible has set forth for you in your mind and your being that we should give thanks and give thanks often, and even though that we just have a few times that it's mentioned, but we have the idea that it's many times there. So I know we got a guy back there, and he'll check me out on those figures. I'm quite sure of that. And he lets me know if they're not right, but they'll be right. I got them straight from the horse's mouth. Okay, but I got them straight out of the Bible. But I want to talk to you a little bit about Thanksgiving. You know, I think Thanksgiving has a lot to do with attitudes. And I'm so glad that you people have a good attitude. And that helps me to think that you're good, that you give thanks a lot. And people don't give thanks, don't have a good, very good attitude. And the Apostle Paul writes about that. And we'll get to him after a while, and I'll share with you some from the scripture there. But, you know, a person with a positive attitude will always be given thanks. And again, I say, you look at a person that doesn't have a positive attitude, and they don't have much thought of Thanksgiving. You just don't see it in them. But people with a good attitude is people that are giving thanks. Attitude is more important, you know, than the past. It's actually attitude is more important than the education. Even though Sierra get all that education you get, but you know, a good attitude is better than all the education you get, really, when you think about it. And it's more important than money. Even though if you got pretty much money, it gives you pretty good attitude, doesn't it? but a good attitude is more important than money. We could go on and name other things that it's more important than what people say, and say so. If you're living among people with situations, you know that they're constantly negative, move out, get away from them. That's I think would be good advice. Constantly negative people, they, you know, if you stay around them, next thing you know, they'll draw you down and get you to be thinking negative. And we don't want that. When we realize the goodness of God, and what he's done for us, and how he cares for us, and what he's doing for us, and what he will do for us, we ought to be a people of thanksgiving. And we ought to have a good attitude about life itself and about what's taking place in life for us. So this morning I'd like for us to consider here some thoughts from the Apostle Paul as he writes here in his thanksgiving. We see him quite often as he opens up a letter to somebody, writes a letter, he starts off with thanksgiving and thankful for you, and thankful to God for what he's doing for you, and such as that. So, but he writes to this book of Philippians, and we talk about the Apostle Paul, and we read about him. He says he's always talking about joy and rejoice. And I wrote them down, but I don't have them with me. So how many times rejoice is in the Bible? It's great. We ought to be rejoicing. But the Apostle Paul is the greatest example for us, and it encourages me and influences me and to think some way as the Apostle Paul does. Whatever condition Paul's in, he's rejoicing all the time. He's thankful for what God's doing, even though in the worst position he's in, he's thankful and rejoices. But in this little book, the Philippians, and I want to share with you some of this book. It helps us to see why Paul can be so joyful and always rejoicing and giving thanks. And as we think about this little book, the Apostle Paul established the church at Philippi, and it was during his second missionary journey, I believe it was, that he was there, and there'd been a little split between him and Barnabas. And he and Silas now are traveling. And Paul really wants to go to Spain. And that was his goal right there when this takes place. And so he takes Silas, and his thought is to go to Spain. But while he thought on those things, he had a vision of a man, spoke to him, and said, come over into Macedonia and help us. And so Paul, he's alert to all these things, and he's had visions, and he knows that God talks to him in those ways and so forth. He didn't hesitate then. He didn't hesitate. He just turned away from going to Spain. He went into Macedonia, and he went to Philippi, which Philippi is the chief city of Macedonia. When he got there, naturally he's sharing the word, and came the Lord, came Sabbath day. And so he and Silas decided, where are we going together for prayer? And so evidently in that day, it was pretty much a habit for some people who didn't want to join with the Jews and so forth. They would go down on the riverbank. And that's a good place to go down on the riverbank and worship and give thanks. So the Apostle Paul and Silas, they go down on the riverbank to worship God and to give thanks and so forth. While he's there, they run on to this lady by the name of Lydia. Lydia's there, and she's got all of her... Lydia's a wealthy lady. She sells purple, a dye called purple, and it's very expensive. So the scriptures talks about her household. I don't know that Lydia had any children. Don't know that Lydia was married. But she had a household. And when we think about household in those days, it was your workers or whoever you're associated with that's in your circle, so to speak, and active in your circle. That's your household. So as they were there, they met Lydia, and he then shared, the Apostle Paul shared with Lydia the gospel. She received the gospel. She understood then what she needed to do. She needed to repent and accept Jesus and be baptized. And it says there that her and her household, that means all of whoever was with her. And when it says household, it gives me the idea that there's more than two or three people there. She's got a pretty good crew. She's got a big business going. She's there on business. So she's got her business people with her and so forth. So it's a big thing. It wasn't just one or two people. And so Paul is just, you can rejoice here. I mean, the first seventh day he's here, he meets this woman, her whole household believes in the Lord. And so forth. And the scripture says he goes on a few days and he comes across, he's sharing the gospel wherever he's at. So you can see him here in the streets of Philippi talking to people about Jesus. And so he runs onto this young lady. And this young lady, she has a demon of witchcraft. And the Apostle Paul looks upon her with compassion, sympathy. And you know what the Apostle Paul did? He just cast that demon out of her. That old demon of witchcraft. And then what happened? She was a slave. You know, we think about these people that's grabbing people and making slaves out of them now, especially young ladies and so forth, that these men, terrible men, that grabs up and I don't know how they hold them. They just scare them so bad, I guess, and get them into places where they don't know what to do, and they make slaves out of them. She was a slave to this man, and he made money with her witchcraft. Paul cast a demon out. His money dries up. He's sad, mad about that. He goes to the councilman. He gets Paul and Silas arrested. They cast him into prison. Now, midnight, we find Paul and Silas. I mean, you would think that they're doing good here. They've done good for this young lady. And they're rejoicing in the salvation of Lydia and the household. And now they're sitting in prison. You would think, boy, they'd be kind of discouraged and down in the dumps a little bit. But the scripture says Silas and Paul were singing, rejoicing in God's goodness. I mean, down here in the prison. And at midnight, I believe it was, about midnight, something happened. The foundation of that prison was shaken. And the doors all came apart. And miraculously, the bands that were on their hands and feet fell off. And the jailer there that had, they had given them over to the jailer and they said, you keep them safe. Now there's a couple of thoughts about that when they give them to the jailer. We won't go into that, but there's a couple of thoughts about that. But the jailer was to keep them safe. Now the jail is all breaking apart. And the jailer has been woken up here by this commotion. And he comes out into the shadows of night and he's going to take his life. He's going to commit suicide because he knows he was supposed to keep Paul and Silas safe. And if there's harm come to them, or if they have escaped, the magistrates would demand his life. And the jailer cried out, Paul, what must we do to be saved? And Paul says, don't be afraid. We're here. Everybody's all right. And so it says, then Paul told him about Jesus. And him and his household, it says, received the gospel. And were baptized the same night. And they washed the stripes of the Apostle Paul and Silas where they had been beaten because casting out the demons from the little lady. It says the next morning then, the magistrates found out about this. And the Apostle Paul and Silas was set free. They saw what was taking place and they knew that something more than what they knew was taking place. So they set Paul and Silas free. And so they went to the house of Lydia. Where Lydia, I don't know whether Lydia owned the house there. It says went to Lydia's house. And after they greeted him and so forth, then the Apostle Paul and Silas left. Now can you see why the Apostle Paul could just be rejoicing even when things weren't going the way they ought to go? You see what he's went through and what has taken place? He has seen the glory of God at work 1, 2, 3, 4 times right there. Miraculously. And he can't do anything but praise God and rejoice in him and give thanks to him for what he's doing. How wonderful. Paul and them went forth then and left. Now, Paul writes back Let's fast forward here 10 years. And the Apostle Paul now is sitting in prison in Rome. And the church of Philippi knows that he's there in jail. They find out some way. They send a care package to the Apostle Paul. I mean, they loved the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul loved the Philippian jail, church of Philippi. In fact, they had such a bond that it was a lifetime bond. And they sent a care package to Rome to the Apostle Paul by Epaphroditus. And as he was coming, he was taken down with some kind of illness. Nearly died, really. And so when he got well, the Apostle Paul sends him back to Philippi. And he sends him back with a letter, a thanksgiving letter. And that's what you read here in the book of Philippians. That is the letter that the Apostle Paul sends back here to the church at Philippi. And let's just look at a few things here that he says here. Let me get this thing off. I didn't put that on. And he says, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ. Now you see what's taking place here? Silas isn't mentioned there, is he? He's in Rome. 10 years has taken place. He now has Timothy. Silas is also with him, but he isn't recorded. He might not be here with him right here, but he says, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, all the saints of Christ with Jesus Christ, are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you. God's great favor on you. And peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, he says. And can't you just visualize now what we've brought into our mind here, what Paul has done, you can just almost feel the attitude and the expression of Paul, can't you? Because of all these good things that happened at Philippi, God's gracious, holy work has taken place there. And he says, I thank God for you. You know, I thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you on making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel and from the first day until now, he says. So you can see again, that man has nothing but joy in his heart, in his system. I can see him, and his system just quivers with joy. Everywhere he goes, sitting in prison, he's rejoicing and thankful and so forth. So verse 1 and 2, the apostle here always has a warm, cheerful greetings to the church. Greetings to the church there. Grace and peace be unto you, he says here, from the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So they know who he's talking about. They know why he's saying the Lord Jesus Christ, because he knows that they know that they have been saved and now live by the Lord Jesus Christ here. Verse 3, the apostle is always in an attitude of thanksgiving. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I mean, he didn't leave any insinuation there of anything that was bad or anything. He said, I thank God for you here, I think, upon every remembrance of you. So he says that attitude. He's very thankful for it. Just like we ought to be thankful for one another, for this church family we have here. We ought to be thankful. We have a good attitude. We love the Lord. The Lord blesses and helps us and so forth. Does some wonderful things for him. We ought to always just be in a position of rejoicing in the Lord, giving thanks. Verse 4, it says here, he's always in prayer. He says here, always in every prayer of mine for you, making requests with joy. There's that word joy. He says, you know, I pray for you. I mean, I'm just rejoicing in the fact of who you are, what you've done, and how you're living for the Lord, and what the Lord God has done for you. I'm so thankful for that. And so Paul uses this word rejoice. One time I counted 14, another time 17. Between 14 and 17 times the Apostle Paul used that in this little book of Philippians of rejoice, 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 rejoice. Book of Thessalonians, you write it, you know, rejoice, rejoice, be thankful. Every time you look at him and find him, he said, rejoice. And in some form of this little letter, there's 14 to 17 things here that represent rejoicing here. Just in 104 verses. And you have to remember the Apostle Paul is sitting in prison when he's writing this letter. He's in Rome. And the Apostle Paul doesn't know what's going to happen next. You can think with the Apostle Paul, he's sitting there in Rome, and he thinks, he's hoping that he'll appear in court before Caesar, and Caesar will let him go free. That's what he's got in mind. He's hoping for. But then on the other hand, there's Paul in his mind. He's got forefront in his mind that at any moment the door would open and the soldiers will come in and take him and behead him. That's the position Paul was in when he's writing this little letter. And then he talks about joy and rejoicing. Rejoice in those things. You have to remember this sitting in a prison here. What he's going through. And we see him rejoicing over the church at Philippi. Just rejoicing and singing to God about it. The Apostle Paul has experienced some rather hard times. When you read his life, he has experienced hard, hard times. Yet he expresses gratitude for those hard times and genuine gratitude in those hard times. And I'm pretty sure that each person sitting here this morning has experienced hard times. Maybe you're experiencing hard times right now. Maybe you're experiencing you're faced with some hard times in the future. I don't know. But if you haven't experienced hard times, if you're not experiencing hard times, you will experience hard times. This little letter that Paul writes to us helps us. You know, life is full of reasons to worry and so forth, to be upset sometimes. Right now, the conditions of America has many, many people worried. That's why I said, you know, I would hope that this week that people will pause and be thankful for what we have and rejoice in God's goodness, even though we're experiencing things we're going through. I think it's fair to say that America is going through a hard time. But I really believe this, if God's people will be thankful, pray and praise and be thankful and rejoice in his goodness, we'll get out of that hard time. And I believe that's the same way with you. If you're going through a hard time, if you're facing a hard time, if you would just bow your head, if you'll just pray to God, if you rejoice in what he's done for you, what he'll do now will surprise you. Shouldn't surprise you. But it probably will. You know, I mean, we talk about being surprised, but does it really surprise you what God is doing in your life? No. He says he'll do it. So just expect it. Hard times. He said, I'll help you through hard times. Well, don't get all worried and all suck up about it. Just expect it. Be thankful. Be joyful about what he's doing. And it'll help you and it'll help you and it will help you. There's many places in the Lord Jesus where the Lord Jesus had the same instructions. If you go back to the Sermon on the Mount, you remember what Jesus said? Get in the sixth chapter and you'll find out. And he says, hey, don't worry. He says, don't you know, the birds, they don't plant crops. They don't harvest and put in the barn. Your Father feeds them. Our Father feeds them. So he said, don't be worried. about what you eat, what you drink, the clothing you put on. Praise God. He knows what you need, and He'll take care of those needs if you have the right attitude about life and about God Himself. If you rejoice in His goodness and giving thanks always, as Paul does, hey, He'll shake the foundation of the prison for you. That's the kind of God He is. Be thankful. Be thankful there and showing gratitude. It doesn't mean that we deny that there's difficulties in life, because they are. There's people out here, I'm looking at some people right now that's got difficulties. I don't deny. You know, you might say, well, he's just saying rejoice in all things we take care of. No, you got difficulties. And we're faced with difficulties. It isn't pretending, you know, that everything's rosy, everything's wonderful. It's not pretending that way. Rather, gratitude and focusing on the highlights and that what is good and giving credit to God for the good that He does for us. That will certainly change our attitude. It might not change our situation, but it'll change our attitude about the situation. Zig Ziglar says, and I quote, "Of all the attitudes we can acquire, surely the attitude of gratitude is the most important and the most life-changing." Unquote. You know, gratitude helps us to have a positive attitude. I'll write that down. Gratitude helps us have a positive attitude. One might say, well, a positive attitude is a result of positive gratitude. A positive attitude is a result of positive gratitude. And giving thanks helps us to remember what God has done for us. And when we remember what God has done for us and see what God has done for us, we ought to realize what He will do for us. And I don't only thank God for what He's doing today, but I often, and probably not enough times, thank God for what He's going to do tomorrow for us. I don't know what's coming tomorrow. I know some of the things that's coming tomorrow, but I'm thanking God for it. I'm going to the eye doctor tomorrow, and I'm going to have another operation. But I'm not all worried about it, you know. I'm praising God for the goodness of it, because I got 20/20 vision in the other eye. And so I'm just thanking God for that and praising that and rejoice. So tomorrow I'm going, and I'm going with expectation. And with the attitude, I'm going to come home seeing better than I saw when I left. You know, got a little difficulty. But hey, I'm expecting God to take care of that. He told me He will. And I'll take Him for His word. Do you take Him at His word? You know? Sure. Thanksgiving enables us to walk our Christian life with more confidence. You know? If you can praise God, if you can thank God, if you can rejoice in what God has done for you, your walk in your Christian life will be much, much different, much, much better. You will have a greater attitude of what's taking place, and that will cause you to be more thankful then of what God is doing here. God is able. He sent His Son, Jesus, to bring all the faithful, you know, it's wonderful what God is doing for you, but, you know, and when we think about what God has done for us, He saved us, He's helping us, providing for us now, and what He's going to do for us one day, He's going to send His Son. He's going to send His Son, Jesus. Together, the faithful, thankful Christians, gather them all up and take them home to the house of many mansions. He's promised that. I thank God for this church. And this church family, and all the ways that He has blessed me and you, He's blessed us. I thank Him, and you know, for the challenges that He set before me, even now, that He has forced me to depend upon Him more and rely upon Him more and more and more and more. This has been a challenging year for me, and I know several of you people. This has been a challenging year for you. But through those challenges, just as I said, you know, tomorrow, I'm not boasting. I'm saying because what God has done for me, I can rely tomorrow. I can rely on Him doing tomorrow. God's not going to say, well, I've done enough for you. He helped me back here.
and he's going to help me over here. I rely on him to do that. He's promised to do that. And I'm so thankful for it. And I just go whistling. I was whistling a tune coming out here this morning, Maxine. It interferes with her driving. I do a lot of things that interferes with her driving. it's great. It's great. But, you know, I'll just go. She'll drive me down tomorrow. You know, I've learned, you know, let her drive most of the time. I learned, you know, there's no use both of us driving. But that gives me opportunity to rejoice. You know, I can just lean back and rejoice, you know, and go on. Let her worry about all that. And, you know, that's what God said to do. Let somebody else do your worrying. Isn't that what he said? And he even said this, look, if you got things you need to worry about, don't worry about them, give them to me, and I'll worry about them. That's what he says. I'm thankful for all that. How thankful are you this morning? I hope that each and every one of you can just praise God for his goodness. He is so good to us. Look at him. Look to him. And he'll do goodness to you every day of your life as we stand, as we sing. Isn't God good? Amen. Thank you, folks, and I hope you have a safe week, a joyous week, that you join with the family, and I hope that you will give great, great thanksgiving to the Lord God who provides for it so abundantly. Encourage others to recognize where all the good and perfect gifts come from. They come from the Father of heaven. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we've been given life and we enjoy life. We thank you that we have a church family that we're part of and we just enjoy them. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for good things for each and every one of our church people here today. And we pray, Heavenly Father, this week as we go forth, let us be ever, ever, ever thankful. Let us be thankful every day in our life, but let us even this week give a little more opportunity to give a great thanks to you, to your Son, Jesus. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for this nation, that people across this nation will just stop and pause and give you honor and thank you for your goodness, Heavenly Father. Thank you for being so good to us, and thank you for being so good to our church family here at Porter. We praise you. We rejoice in your goodness. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.